everybody. Welcome to this Elder Law interview. My name is Jim Wolverton, and I'm the Director of Legal Education here at Krauss Financial. And in this interview, I was able to take some time and talk to Courtney Steinbacher. She's the Strategic Profit Analyst at the Million Dollar Solution. We'd previously talked to her mother about the dementia-based practice, and I wanted to do a follow-up with Courtney on what she does with the Million Dollar Solution and how she helps elder law attorneys. And what Courtney does is very interesting because she has a CPA background, and what she will do is look at an elder law firm's books, procedures, policies, and see if there's any way to be more efficient and really look at data-driven results in a manner to push greater profitability strictly based on data, policies, and procedures and efficiencies. So very interesting conversation I had with Courtney, kind of a follow-up to the last conversation I had with her mom. So I hope you'll enjoy it as much as I did and learn more about how a strategic profit analyst can come in and help your elder law firm.
Seems like we'll have more room. Yeah, if we're talking about any questions or anything that I stumble or anything, I can just let Abby know to edit that out. But okay. These are usually we get through them pretty good usually.
Sounds good.
Okay, so I started the recording, right? It said it's recording. Okay, good. Thank you, Courtney, so much for being here. It's really cool to have you here. As we mentioned, we chatted with your mom in our last elder law interview. So to kind of get another part of the Million Dollar Solution, how you all work together, can you describe a little bit what your role is as a strategic profit analyst for Million Dollar Solution?
Yeah, so my background is in accounting. So I really come in with the numbers and with the money. Profit is such an interesting word in law firms. I feel like the first question I always get answered is, what should my profit margin be, right? Like, how do I do that? How do I make sure that my staff is working the way that they're supposed to be working to get my profit? It's not like a manufacturing business, right? We can't just cut hard costs. So we're cutting costs, we're cutting people. So, you know, I really look at a couple of different factors. So one is your staff. How do we get the most out of them in the most efficient way possible? I do also look at what are you paying? So, you know, it's so funny. You start talking to these attorneys and they're like, oh, yeah, like I tried this marketing thing and it doesn't work. And by the way, I've been paying $29.99 out of my credit card for the last couple of months and I forgot to cancel it. So, you know, what are we paying? And then the third thing is, how are we paying, right? So are we still writing checks out of our office? Are we using credit cards, online bill payment solutions, different things like that? So those are really the three facets that I look at when I kind of jump right into a law firm to kind of under that whole umbrella of profit.
Yeah, that's such an interesting use of kind of your background as an accountant into kind of the law firm, under the hood of the law firm, kind of the motor that gets the law firm going. What kind of inspired you to use that background to then kind of look into these issues and profitability and things like that? What was kind of that tie between what you're doing before and then working with law firms?
Yeah, so my mom started her elder law practice actually in the garage of our house when I was a little kid. And so I've always kind of been around the elder law space. When I was in high school, I used to work at her office and I did things from scanning files to actually, you know, sometimes I would scrub the grout in the bathroom with the toothbrush, honest to goodness. And so, you know, I've kind of always been around the law firm and I was working in public accounting and her bookkeeper of a really long time was retiring. And so, you know, my mom came to me and said, hey, will you jump in as kind of like our staff accountant? And I said, I'll do you this favor. I'll come in for 6 months. And then I'm getting out of here, right? Like I'm going to study for my CPA exam. I'm going to pass and then I'm going to be done. And Jim, I have to be honest with you. I just really fell in love with it. Like there's so many different facets. Every law firm is just a little bit different. There's just a little bit of a different puzzle to solve, but there are some very like basic things that I learned in the last 4 years that I've been working in a firm and working with other firms from across the country that we can put these really basic things into place and it's going to make a huge difference. And then unlocking the profitability. What's so great about elder law firms is that I really believe in what they're doing. And I understand the law firm side of it, right? Trying to help such an interesting population of people. And so I hope to bring some kind of calming, peace, understanding to the finance side so that the attorneys can really do what they're good at, which is be attorney.
Yeah, and help people. I think that's great. When you're first kind of coming with a law firm and you're kind of trying to define what goals are, what do you really look at for financial goals and profitability when you're chatting with an elder law firm specifically?
Yeah, so I think first, I always like to take a step back and ask the attorney, what do they want to do with their lives? Like, what do they want their practice to look like? So much of what I'll end up talking about is like different procedures and different things like that. But sometimes I'll talk to an attorney and they'll be like, you know, I want to make enough money so that I can buy a second home, or I, you know, my family has a cabin and I want to spend every Friday there. And it's like, well, if you're the only person that deposits the checks and signs the checks, you actually can't go on Fridays. So how do we marry the procedures of how does money move through your firm in the most profitable manner so that we're building something that you actually want? The last thing I want to do, Jim, is jump in and put all these procedures and rules and regulations into place and help them build this really profitable thing that they didn't even want.
Right. And so when you're looking at kind of those procedures that the attorney does want in place so they can get out on Fridays and go to that cabin, what are the ones that you highlight kind of are the low-hanging fruit that you're looking at an elder law firm?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, reimbursement for client expenses is such a big one. You know, I work with so many different companies or so many different law firms, and they'll say to me, oh, yeah, like my staff 100% of the time, we're recapturing those expenses. Well, Jim, I mean, we have really good procedures, and I'm here to tell you we don't do it 100% of the time, right? So, you know, you would be amazed. I worked with a law firm, and they were like, our procedures are great. Our staff is following them. I looked at 6 months worth of credit card statements and found $6,000 worth of client expenses that they weren't recapturing.
Wow.
And so part of that is identifying who in their staff is going to make sure that they're there, but what system can we put into place? And that's always where I start, which is the money that's coming out of your firm. Because most attorneys that are managing partners, a lot of them like the marketing. They have a really good handle on how money comes in because that's the fun part, right? Like you're getting the checks from the clients, the money that's coming in, that's fun. It's the money that's going out that we're maybe not paying as much attention to and the recapture of the client expenses. So I always start with like, you should have a form. And, you know, years ago, this was a printed form that people are writing in. Now we can use, you know, Sign Now or different things like that. They're electronic PDFs. But it's super important that somebody that's involved in the client file is taking a look at maybe we recorded a deed twice and we only passed on the expense once to the client because we made a mistake, which we would never want to recapture. But if that's happening with the same person over and over again, maybe we have a training issue on how to record deeds, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there can be a couple of things, but that's $75 every time you record a deed. That adds up if you mess that up a couple of times. And so those are places where you can really find big swings in their income statement that they're not even thinking about because for them, it's, of course, you would be recapturing that. And that's what I told people. But unless you're making sure that things are happening the way that they're supposed to, it's really hard to be certain that every person is following it. And that only gets more and more complicated the bigger and the bigger that places grow because you can't have a hold on every client file that comes in and out of your office.
As someone that ran a firm that had zero operating procedures, I know what you're talking about. So when you run into a firm like what we were doing, where we're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants and didn't really have standard operating procedures, how do you get an attorney, a law firm that's kind of just winging it, for lack of a better term, that needs your help, needs you to come in and help them out and get some of these procedures in place that they might not be used to?
Yeah, so change management is a huge part of what I do. And the biggest piece of that is getting buy-in from the people that actually have to follow the procedures. So I like to start with one procedure at a time. And it's kind of like, you can eventually, like, you can get to the point where maybe you can do, like, two or three different, but that first one, because you're talking about people that have been doing the job their way for a long time, and they don't want to change. And so explaining to them why it's really important, what we're trying to capture, It's actually funny. When I was working at Steinbacher Goodall in your tech, and I changed one of the procedures, Jim, I actually drove from my parents' house to State College, so it's like an hour, every Wednesday for 6 months to sit and talk to this one person who she would not follow any of my procedures. She thought it was crazy. She didn't understand what I was doing, and she didn't think I understood what she was doing. So I would sit with her for 15 minutes. So I drove all the way, and I would talk to her, and I would just explain to her that we're actually not trying to make her job more difficult. I'm actually trying to help. And downstream, this is how what she's doing impacts the rest of the firm. And usually that understanding, people are really able to then kind of wrap their head around it, and they understand that you're just trying to help. So usually I start one procedure at a time. And honestly, sometimes I start with the IOLTA account because that's not our money. And if they don't have, they usually have some controls over that. So it doesn't seem like such a weird place. And I would say for a majority of people that work in an elder law firm, if you come to them and say, I'm putting this in place for the benefit of our clients because I really believe that we need to have good controls over this, they're able to know very few people are going to argue with that, right? Because they believe in protecting them. And then it's kind of a nice jump from, well, if we do this for the trust account, why shouldn't we do it for the operating account? And sometimes they could open that door for themselves and kind of see that play through.
That makes a lot of sense too, because not only are you supporting your client, but you're also protecting your own license and starting there where attorneys have that kind of wiring already in place. I think it makes a lot of sense. I really like what you said about explaining to staff and the attorneys the bigger picture of where we're trying to go, rather than I'm just trying to give you more steps to follow in your job. That has to be such a different dichotomy and different feedback when you're working with different law firms on how to get the staff on board. I'm sure that you've seen that a time or two. I know I have.
Yes.
When you're coming into a law firm and you talked about staff productivity, what is the staff doing? Kind of how do you come in and you observe them, or what are you looking at to kind of see how people are just managing their day-to-day and getting the most efficiency out of the staff?
Yeah, and so I think this is where elder law firms are really interesting, because a lot of them work on flat fee billing, and right. So they're not necessarily tracking their time. That most of the firms that I work, they track their time no matter what kind of billing they're doing, and it's just a really good habit for staff to get into. So the first thing I do is I just pull that right out of the system, and I look at what's a productive hour. So in litigation, they call it billable hours. A production hour can be a little bit different. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to bill it directly on an invoice, right? But it moved a client file forward, and that's really what we're trying to accomplish. So I'll take a look at everything that each person is doing to move a client file forward, divided by how many hours are they sitting in your office or supposed to be, right? So for most people, that's 40 hours a week. And I have really interesting conversations with managing partners, which is, you know, my staff tell me that they're so busy. And then I pull the report and I'm like, well, that's not what the numbers say. And so there can be a couple of different reasons for that. One, they're not capturing all of their time, which is really hard if you ever have to convert to hourly, or you're trying to figure out what are your fees are. Like, how do you move a client file right through your office? So it's super important to have that information. So one is really just getting the staff to completely and accurately track their time so that we know. And the second is really, you know, you get some really interesting information. This is human nature. People do things that they like to do. You can learn a lot from somebody's time entries. So sometimes we have staff that aren't traditionally productive, but they're doing like marketing or relationship building or different things like that. And we'll actually, you know, carve out different metrics or benchmarks for those specific people, because that's moving the business forward. So I do want people, you know, so often when I talk about productivity rates, and please know, like, I come from public accounting. They used to email staff utilization reports out to everybody. And we used to sit around the computer when it came out, and you're like, oh, this person wasn't productive, or this person was, right? That is so not the environment I want in these offices, right? Like, I don't think that's conducive to anything. But I do want to have a conversation about, our staff overworked. So we have some staff where I have conversations where their productivity is at 100%. That is so not what I want. You know, for a paralegal that's a pretty production-based paralegal, we're looking at probably somewhere from 72 to 76% of the time they're moving a client file forward. you're a smaller firm and your paralegal's doing a lot more of their administrative items, so they don't have like a legal secretary under them that can kind of do some of that stuff, you're looking at maybe closer to like 65%. Okay. Those are kind of some good benchmarks, and it fluctuates. So more so we're looking for patterns, right? So if I have a paralegal that goes on vacation for a month and their productivity dips, I'm not having a conversation with them. As long as all of the months around that, their productivity is fine. This is more about pattern recognition and making sure that overall they're working in a manner that kind of makes sense to move the firm forward.
It makes a lot of sense. That does make a lot of sense. And I know that you have worked quite a bit with ActionStep as kind of the platform that you use for a lot of this. How does that platform help, or a platform like that, how can technology come in and kind of help you organize all that data that you need to do those analyses?
Yeah, so we use ActionStep as our practice management software, and I know lots of people will use like Clio or MyCase or whatever they use. ActionStep has a couple of really neat features. So one, the ability to pull the time out for production hours. They have a really simple way to do that.
Okay.
So they have a great report. We're able to pull monthly. It doesn't take a lot of manual manipulation on my end to get the numbers that I want. They also have a really neat feature, which is suggestions. So if I pull up somebody's time card for the day, it'll also show me the suggestions, which basically the software just follows them around. That's a really neat way for me to understand, is the staff person, especially a new staff person that's maybe not used to tracking their time, are they not productive or are they just not fully on board with time tracking? So I can see what they're doing in the software. And not in like a big brother kind of way, but just in like more of a data and information understanding. And that's such a different conversation to just say, like, I see that you're really busy. Let me help you understand like the best practices for time tracking. Cause maybe the way that you're doing it just doesn't work for you. I know some people, you know, write it down. Some people use a spreadsheet and then they import it at the end of the day. ActionStep has really nice timers. That's actually how I personally do it. I start a timer. But we've all been in situations where we've started the timer, we've gone to do something, and then somebody called and somebody knocked on the door and all of that stuff. So, you know, it's never a perfect science, but it gets close. And I think the other thing that ActionStep really does is it's back-end reporting for income statement. I can kind of slice the income information in a bunch of different ways. So by person, by office, by matter type. And so you can kind of then start to marry, okay, this team of people is really productive, but is that actually translating into money is coming into my bank account, right? Because at the end of the day, if our staff is moving all of the client files forward, but we're not collecting any money from the clients, it doesn't help me make payroll on Fridays, right?
Well, and it's such an interesting way to use a client management system. I know we never accessed a lot of those more like that productivity side of things. We were using it strictly for billing, but we weren't taking it to that next level that you can help folks do. So that's really cool. I know another thing that you work with attorneys on is the question that we get the most. What should I be billing for this Medicaid type work, this flat fee work? And I never have a good answer for it. So I know that you work with attorneys to kind of come up with their optimal billing rate. How do you work with attorneys to do that? I know I definitely have been asked the question. And I don't have a very good solution. So I'm all ears on this one.
Yeah. So we have put together a formula for kind of calculating what we call the optimal billing rate, which takes the expense information. So how much money do you pay in payroll? And then how much does it cost to operate your business? And then we add on a profit margin. So we recommend somewhere from 20 to 25%. I will say, Jim, this is a place where sometimes I will adjust based on where the firm is right now. So if the firm is posting a net loss or they're only at 5%, making the jump all the way to 20 can feel a little bit aggressive. So I think sometimes you have to walk before you can run. So we kind of take that information and then we divide it by the total number of hours that people are sitting in their office. And so then we adjust from there based on what we call their capacity utilization rate. So this is, if you think about your firm like a pie, right, there's only so much time. So there's only so much pie. You can only slice it so many different ways. So that if it was 100% of the time your staff was working on a client file, that's what your optimal billing rate would be. However, most firms I work with, they're somewhere in the 45 to 65% range. of, at any given point in time, their staff, 45 to 65% of their staff is working on a client file. And so when you adjust for that number, it'll spit out a different number, so much higher than if your staff was 100% productive. But if your staff is 100% productive, we have to talk to them because that means they're not getting coffee, they're not eating lunch, they're just like, we're dating them to their desk. You know, there's labor laws that we have to contend with, right?
Take a break.
Yeah, exactly. Go for a walk. So once we kind of get that number, then what we do is we'll take a sample. I like to start by looking at 10 to 15 files and say, okay, we charged X. So let's say we charged $10,000 or $15,000 and we worked, you know, this many hours on that file. So if you take the $10,000 divided by the total number of hours that you spend, you would compare your optimal billing rate, which would be the rate to keep the lights on, to pay your employees, and to take the profit home. And as long as the number, the hourly rate, is higher than your optimal billing rate, that file was profitable.
Gotcha.
And so not every file is going to be profitable, but what, again, kind of like where we were looking at staff productivity, we're looking for patterns. We're looking for patterns here because we don't always just want to raise fees. That's also the question I get. Well, how much do you raise your fees every year? And we've actually been able to kind of go back and say, well, we're not raising all of our fees this year, but we've determined that these specific fact patterns take us more time, and therefore we're going to raise these fees. But these different fact patterns over here, we're actually doing okay, right? So, like, for the most part, we're profitable on most of those files. Or for the sample that we took, it, the department ended up being profitable. And to the best of our abilities, I'm sure any attorney listening, they can say, yeah, well, I got this one file and it really, sure. Right?
Like, yes, we all have those files.
We do, and we don't have to talk about those. But for the majority, you kind of want to start then isolating or segmenting down to say, and then you can give that to your triage person or the person doing the intake or the scheduling, right? And it just makes you so much more prepared going into a first appointment. Because if you get that objection that says, this is a lot of money, you can say, well, yes, it is, but this is a lot of work, and my staff is doing a really good job.
Yeah, that's, I think that component is so key to be able to get that information to the person doing the initial interview so they're able to identify, like you said, that type of fact pattern and not overpromise and underdeliver, and then you're not making enough money. I think that's really where a lot of law firms get a little bit lost when it comes to their optimal billing rate, what type of client. So that's great. That's great information. Courtney, thank you so much. If people want to work with you, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, so the best way is to go to the Million Dollar Solution website so they can take a look there. If they're interested in the labor productivity, creating the optimal billing rate and different things, we actually have a website called whatismystaffdoing.com that they're welcome to go to and take a look at. You know, I think sometimes we all ask that question.
Right.
You know. Like, I could hear them chit-chatting on a Friday afternoon, but 30 seconds ago they were in my office telling me they were too busy. So, you know, two things can't be true.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. This was a great conversation. I think a lot of people will get a lot out of it. So thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I really appreciated being on here.
Thanks so much.